Time to chat with the voice of the Cardinals for Valley Sports Midwest, Dan McLaughlin, our good buddy here on 101 ESPN. You can, of course, listen to Danny Mac alongside BK each and every day on 101 ESPN. And Dan joins us via the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. What's up, Dan?
Anthony, Brad. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, Dan.
Big news about that big get for the Blues. Extension 2.
Big Booch. Playing left or right side now.
Yeah, I'm fired up.
4 years, baby.
Why? Why do you guys? Do you guys remember the old Saturday Night Live skit where the couple are like doing radio and they're talking just completely monotone?
Why does it have to be old when it's Dan and I, Anthony?
Yeah, why are we old?
I don't get it.
Yeah, what is that?
So Dan, the trade deadline's in a couple of days. How many moves do you think the Cardinals make? 4, 5, 6, even?
I'll tell you what, I can make a case for all those. I really could. I'm serious. I mean, I think there's some, you know, areas of the ball club you certainly could improve for the now and for the future. So I do think it's going to be interesting how the CBA affects what maybe certain teams are going to do. So are they willing to deal? Are they more willing to say goodbye to certain players that have longer contracts or, you know, money that is owed them, or some team's going to say, hey, we're going for it. I do think that's kind of under the radar here as we'll see how it unfolds here in the next couple of days. But I do think that's kind of under the radar and how teams maybe approach this, especially coming off a season in which, you know, you had no fans in the stands.
Dan, if you were just given the power, if you were Mo for a day, and I don't need you to complete a whole deal for me, but what area would you – you only have one move. That's it. It could be the bullpen. It could be the rotation. It could be a bat. Where would you put your one move?
I think it's got to be rotation, and I would want to do it with a player that I felt, even if he's a free agent to be, that I could get control of next year and beyond. So that would be probably the direction I would go in because I think when I think back to earlier this year, I really felt the strength of this team was going to be with their pitching. And, man, has it been tested. I mean, Jack Flaherty went down May 31st. That was game number 53. And now you rolled into, you know, Cincinnati with Woodford, Oviedo, LeBlanc. I did not see that coming. So by shoring that up, not only for the now and for the future, then it allows maybe to place some of those guys that I'd have to take out of the rotation back to the bullpen, and maybe I get kind of a 2-for-1 improvement with my club.
Can I offer you a different 2-for-1? Maybe get a reliever at the deadline, maybe a cost-controlled reliever, because you know that you're going to move Alex Reyes into the starting rotation next year.
Yeah, I think that's on the table for sure, Anthony. And I, you know, in talking with people that are around the club that are around Alex all the time, even though he's getting a taste at closing and the adrenaline that comes with it, and he's had a fabulous year, he's had one blown save, he wants to start. And that's where the money is, too. And I think probably when you look at your long term health with him, maybe it's better for him to be a starter. Don't know. We'll see how it plays out. But he's been through so much, and I think by the end of, you know, this long run to get to be an all-star, I think he tastes it and wants to be a starter. But he's going to have to improve. I will say this. He's going to have to improve on throwing more strikes. He's not going to be able to walk nearly as many as he's done as a closer. And normally you can't do that as a closer, but his stuff has been so good. You know, more times than not, he gets out of these jams.
Jack Flaherty's on the bump tonight in Memphis. I think he's slated for about 45 pitches. Miles Michaelis threw over the weekend. He was very good in 3 innings of work, only 29 pitches. Dan, when you look at these couple of guys, and you know, I mean, it's 62 games left, and the Cardinals have to go on an epic run in the second, well, not even second half, the last 62 games. How do you think they handle these two guys as far as amount of rehab starts, how they deploy them when they come back? What do you think that they're thinking when it comes to Flaherty and Michaelis?
Well, I would look really hard at how Jack Flaherty pitches tonight and say, are we better off just having him come back up? And even if we piggyback him with Michaelis or he's going to give us 60 pitches next start, are we better off just doing that? Because to your point, you're running out of time. I would look at that. I really would. Not sure they're going to go in that direction, but I would. And the reason that I bring that up, and I was doing some numbers this morning with our buddy Dan Hyatt, Brad, who you know very well, that helps us with research behind the scenes. The second wild card, since it expanded format in 2012, the number that is needed to get to the second wild card, if that's the way that they're going to get this, is roughly 89.6. So you got to get to about 90 wins is the point. The highest it's been is 97. The lowest it's been is 87. So you're talking about roughly 90 wins. So do the math. You got 62 games. You got to win about 40 of them. And those guys give you the best shot to win. Now, the other thing I will say is that the Brewers have a tough stretch of baseball coming up where their schedule is not, an easy one. And the Cardinals are going to be back home where they're 8 games above 500 against, again, lesser teams. We say that, but the teams that you would think that they can take 2 or 3. But it comes down to you can't really lose series, and you got to start winning 2 or 3 or 3 or 4.
Dan, if you look at the young guys that are on the rise for the Cardinals in the system, Liberatore and Nolan Gorman, any chance we see these guys in this last little stretch of games to where whether the team falls back so far that they can't catch a playoff spot and they want to see what they got, or if they just need some guys because they're getting close enough and they think they're ready to do the job?
Well, you got to remember that the minor league season is going to go longer than it has before. So we're going to be, the regular season of Major League Baseball will coincide with that minor league season. My gut tells me, Jamie, that they stay where they're at, especially Gorman. I think they want to get his feet wet, let him experience Triple-A pitching. And remember, we're asking guys to not only make the jump to Triple-A, but these guys are going, like in Liberatore's case, from A-ball to Triple-A. It's a significant jump, and do this with not really having a season last year. Now, he was at the satellite camp, but that's not the same as live games. So I think they wanted him to have that success and then have a clean slate going into spring training. That would be my gut. I don't know that for sure, but that's my gut.
Dan, when you look at the outfield right now, and then you're starting to see these guys play very well, it's clicking, but you just don't know if they're going to have that consistency moving forward. But from what you have seen out of O'Neill, Bader, and Dylan Carlson, are we looking at the future right now with this Cardinals outfield?
Well, Sunday was just the 27th game, Anthony, that the Cardinals have started all three of those guys at once. And when they do, they're 17-10.
Boom!
Yeah, not bad. I think I've seen it. I know what I'm going to get out of Tyler O'Neill. He's going to hit for some power. He's going to be streaky. There's going to be the strikeouts that go along with it, but that's what you get with a power guy. I think Bader has made considerable, and the numbers bear this out, but considerable jumps with his offense. I think we all felt that he could play defense and play at a high level. He's done that again, but now we're seeing the offense really match what he can do defensively. And I really believe before it's all said and done, he's only 22, but, we see signs of it with Dylan Carlson. He's going to be awfully good, man. He is going to be one heck of a player when it's all said and done, and it's just barely getting going. So he's just getting his feet wet. I mean, remember, this time last year, opening day was Saturday, okay, this past Saturday, for the season opener last year. So at this time last year, he wasn't even in Major League Baseball. And we've gotten a pretty nice look at him and what he's done in the last year. It's been impressive.
Hey, are we seeing signs of life from Paul DeJong? I was going back and looking at just some July numbers. In July, he's hitting .310. He's got an .875 OPS. You and I have talked about him a ton, about how much he could mean to this lineup if he actually does get going. Are we starting to see a turn a little bit for him?
Well, I think it's better. I don't know if it's all the way to where the Cardinals need him to be the guy that they expect every single night to be a threat in that lineup. And I think we saw it over the weekend, Brad, where they attacked him up in the zone, mm-hmm. fastballs. And, he had made that adjustment a couple of years ago when he became an all-star. It's just the cat and mouse game that we always talk about with adjustments. But, it's been a kind of a long leash for Paul, because you go back to the second half of 19, not very good. Last year, not very good. And there have been stretches where you say, okay, now he's there. He's the guy. And then all of a sudden, he disappears for a couple of weeks. So I think it's there. It's just got to be consistent, and hopefully we see that in the final 2 months, because I do think it's an important couple of months for him down the stretch.
Danny, you talk about adding a guy in the rotation, and certainly Cardinals would love to do that. I'm going to look forward a little bit to next season, and a couple of old goats that I think the Cardinals should seriously consider extending sooner than later are Waino and KK. Any chance you think that they get any kind of an extension, mostly with KK, because I think Waino's going to take his time and kind of evaluate things. But would you, if you're John Mozeliak, try to at least offer out a contract for KK to ensure that at least you have one of those guys back for next year?
Well, the first thing I would do with KK is play the season out, because I'd want to make sure that I'm getting a healthy pitcher every fifth day. And can he handle the workload? Like, we still don't know if he can handle the workload of this type of baseball, because it was truncated last year with just the 60 games, the season. And this year he's missed a good chunk of time, a couple of different times on the IL. So I want to see him stay healthy here down the stretch. And then at that point, I would approach him and just say, look, if you want to stay here, is this the place you want to be? And if it is, I think you could probably get, I don't want to say a discount, but I'm assuming that that negotiation would be a little bit easier than if he's going to go play for, say, the San Diego Padres or the Cubs or whomever you want to throw out there. So I think you do approach him with that, because one thing we saw this year, the depth just wasn't quite where it needed to be for the Cardinals pitching-wise, and certainly that would be a guy that would allow you to do that.
Dan, great stuff as always. Looking forward to watching you tonight, Bally Sports Midwest, in that Cardinals-Indian series opener. Thanks, bud.
Okay, guys. Talk to you next week.
That's Dan McLaughlin here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. What's Trending is coming up next.